بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم ما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن إبراهيم كان أمة قانتا لله حنيفا ولم يك من المشركين شاكرا لأنعمه اجتباه وهداه إلى صراط مستقيم وآتيناه في الدنيا حسنة وإنه في الآخرة لمن الصالحين صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders, and our mothers and sisters listening over the receiver, Alhamdulillah, we are currently in Dhul Qa'dah, and very soon we will be in Dhul Hijjah, and then the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah, the first 10 days are very blessed, very auspicious. These are the days of Hajj. Many people have already gone for Hajj, many will still be leaving. May Allah Ta'ala grant them Hajj Mabroor, Hajj Maqbool, inshallah. So we are approaching very sacred days. And these are times when again we remind ourselves of the great lessons that we learn and we draw from Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. We have heard these incidents some childhood days. We know the incidents, the stories. We even tell them to our children. Quran Sharif is replete with verses talking about Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. But they are important lessons for us to ponder, reflect, and bring it into our lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not just praised His Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam for no reason. Allah Rabbul Izzat has mentioned, Inna Ibrahima kana ummah. When you talk about an ummah, we are talking about a huge group of people, of individuals, a community. So Allah has said, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he is like, or he was like an entire ummah together in one person. In other words, he had so many qualities in him, great qualities. And he was able to achieve and accomplish singly what a whole nation would accomplish. Allah had given him such qualities. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself mentions, I was the result of the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And as we will see, when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam makes a dua after building the Kaaba, there is no doubt Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the highest and the greatest of all Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. But Allah planned it such that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam came long before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Rasulullah sallam came from his progeny, from the progeny of Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. And therefore, even in our durud Ibrahim, we say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala Ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. So even in our durud sharif which we recite after at-tahiyyat, there too we are sending salat, or we are making dua for Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, when Nabi Kareem went for Mi'raj and he met the various Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, and in the seventh asman, seventh sky, he saw Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam reclining against Baytul Ma'mur. And then Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam had even given, conveyed his salam to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam. And he mentioned to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam to tell your ummah that Jannat is a barren land and the trees and the plantation and the crops in Jannah is tasbih, subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah al-azim. One subhanallah person reads, and a tree is grown for him in Jannah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has praised Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam in several verses. Inna Ibrahima kana ummah. Qanitan, the second quality, he was an obedient servant of Allah. This obedience of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, like every Nabi had, But specifically mention about Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam. Because in one verse in Surah Baqarah, Allah says, وَإِذِبْتَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتِ فَأَتَمَّهُنْ. In another verse, وَإِبْرَاهِيمَ الَّذِي وَفَّى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam through great trials and tests. A person is put through a trial, either to test his aptitude, his intelligence, how well he manages this test, to see how intelligent he is, how brave he is, how he fares. Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam was put through great tests, not to see how intelligent he was. Allah wanted to see, and Allah knew already, but Allah wants mankind to see the obedience of Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, the submission of Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, how he surrendered himself before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His love and ishq was of that level that Allah gave him the title of Khalilullah, the friend of Allah. Ulama and Mufassireen have given various commentaries regarding what were these tests. وَإِذِ بَتَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ. Kalimat means words, here it means tests. Some ulama and mufassirin have said the verses of Surah Mu'minun, where Allah talks about the qualities of the believers. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ. So all these great qualities, Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam was tested regarding these qualities, and he passed with excellent marks, as we say, with flying colors. فَأَتَمَّهُنْ. He perfected these qualities. He completed these tests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he passed successfully. So we find that he was an obedient, a devout servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He had khushu in him, the way he prayed before Allah Rabbul Izzat, the way he performed his salat, and he refrained from all lagh, futile things. He discharged his zakat, whatever the zakat was at that time. Some ulama have given in Surah Ahzab, again where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the different good qualities of the believers. So whatever it was, in essence, Allah tested his submissive nature. Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam grew in such an environment where there was only kufr and shirk. People actually worshipped idols. They should carve these idols and worship these idols. Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, from the time he's a little child, he looks at the stars, he looks at the moon, looks at the sun, and he realizes there is a great power behind all these things. There is another creator, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he tried to drive the attention of his family members and his people away from the type of things they were worshipping towards the oneness of Allah. He was a youngster. And we know the incident where there was a festival, and the people of his town, his family, they compelled him to come join us. Why aren't you coming? So in one verse of the Quran, فَنَذَرَ نَذْرَةً فِي النُّجُومِ فَقَالَ إِنِّي سَقِيمٌ. He looked towards the sky, and he said, I'm not feeling too good. Now people at that, Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam did not take any omen from the stars or the sky. No. This was his plan, that he had to pretend that he's not feeling too good. And in reality, he was not feeling too good because he could not stomach the way these people were worshipping idols. So he said, I'm not feeling too good. Not necessarily having a fever and being sick in bed. The word saqim is used. I'm not feeling too good. So the people used to look at the stars. And they used to take an omen. If somebody looks, after looking at the stars and the sky, if he did not get any good omen, then the people would not compel him to join them. So when he said, I'm not feeling too well, they all proceeded, they leave Ibrahim alayhi salam behind. And this is when he goes and he chops off all the idols and he hangs the axe around the neck of the biggest idol there. So when the people return, immediately when they see this, You see, we know of that youngster, يُقَالْ لَهُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ, his name is Ibrahim. It looks like this is his job. He has done this. So they summon him, they call him. So again he tries and to prove to them the folly of their belief system and how foolish they were, that they are worshipping these idols. They're presenting food to these idols. These idols do not eat. They can't even chase away a fly. They cannot benefit. They cannot harm. So when they asked him, who has broken all these idols? He said, بَلْ فَعْلَهُ كَبِيرٌ هَذَا. The biggest one here. So they realize. But still they were adamant and they did not forsake the manner of worshipping these idols. They did not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So finally we know that they take him and they throw him into the fire. A huge furnace is kindled and Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is actually thrown into this fire. And for us to just mention and give this incident is very easy. But the reality was the people were there and they take Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and he is now flung into this fire. And the kitabs, it is mentioned that as he is now being thrown into the fire, the angels, the word is ضَجَّتِ السَّمَاوَاتِ or أَهْلُ السَّمَاوَاتِ, there was a shriek, there was a sort of a tremor in the skies, and there was an uproar. The angels began to seek Allah's attention. Oh Allah, Khalilullah, your friend, he's been thrown into the fire, it'll burn. So Allah says, if you wish, go and try and assist him. An angel comes, oh Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, if you wish, I will assist you. He says, amma lak, as far as you are concerned, fala hajata li ilayk, I don't have any need in your assistance. حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ وَحَسْبِيَ اللَّهُ, Allah is sufficient for me. This is what Allah Ta'ala wanted Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam to reply with. That Allah is sufficient for me. See, his trust, his reliance was only in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was not wrong if he agreed that the angel, because the angel took permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam's level was far beyond that. And he was the Khalil of Allah, the friend of Allah. And the lesson for us also, that whilst it is perfectly permissible and we should make use of means which Allah has given us, but again, do not have reliance on those means. Have reliance and trust only in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you will see Allah's divine help coming. Immediately, Allah says, قُلْنَا يَا نَارُ كُونِي بَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا عَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمُ. Oh, fire, become cold. Burden means cold. We translate as cool. If somebody is thrown into a fire, he'll get burnt. Allah commanded this fire to be cool. But the word burden means cold. So, what does it mean? That Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, if Allah made the fire absolutely cold, then he could freeze to death. And therefore Allah used the word salaman also, that it will be safe for Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So he won't get burnt, neither will he freeze, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him in this way. So this is a great test. Then he realized that he has to move away from his people, from his own family, his parents, his relatives, his family people, his town people. وَقَالَ إِنِّي ذَاهِبٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي سَيَهْدِينَ, I'm going towards my Allah will guide me. But he gave them da'wat and he tried to convince them of the oneness of Allah. But he realized now that they are not going to accept, so he had to move on. And Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam gets married to Sarah alayhi salatu wasalam and she's unable to conceive. And then she gives him her slave girl, Hajar alayhi salatu wasalam. And from there, he gets Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. And then Ishaq alayhi salatu wasalam. So again, Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam is tested on so many occasions. On so many occasions. He is an old man. And he is given glad tidings of a son. His wife is old. And they're given glad tidings of his son. And Allah talks about this son, not a normal son. Ghulamin Halim. Full of patience, tolerance. Ghulamin Alim. Knowledgeable. Again, imagine after so many years, you're an old man and you get a son. How happy you are. And now, the test is that, O Ibrahim, take your wife and take this child and leave them in the barren lands of Makkah. Not a single question he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah commanded him, immediately he sets out. And he goes there, there are no trees, there's no water, there's no food, there's no people, there's no animals, nothing, absolutely barren. The riwayat says that he leaves them with some a bag of dates and some water that they had. And Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam now is returning. He didn't say a single word to his family, to Hajar alayhi salatu salam, and Ismail alayhi salam is a little baby. So as he's proceeding, she asks, are you leaving us all behind? Still he does not answer. She realized that maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded him. Allahu amaraka bihada. Has Allah commanded you to do this? That's when he said yes. So immediately she says, if Allah has commanded you, idhan la yudhiyana. Then Allah will never destroy us. See, we talk about yaqeen, conviction in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we see only Allah does and only Allah provides. And no harm can come to us if Allah does not want harm to come to us. So these are the lessons we learn from Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam's family also. His wife also. She did not complain. She sits there. Baby is thirsty. Feeds the baby. Whatever kajur they had, dates, is finished. She becomes thirsty. Baby is thirsty. Baby is crying. Now she searches for water. And unlike how we go now Safa Marwa with acorn and so beautiful it is, and still we complain, the crowd is like this and crowd is like that. It's better you take the top floor and the bottom floor, and we only deciding which floor to take. She ran from Safa to Marwa, to the hill, going to the valley. Allah loved this action of hers. There was nobody else there. She was all alone. And she's going from Safa to Marwa, back to Safa. A little child is in the middle, in the valley. She just checks on him. And she again looks for water. And this is the sa'i that we make. Allah loved it so much that the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, every one of us, all the males, have to run in this, between the two green lights. And finally Allah ta'ala then sends Jibreel alayhi salatu salam. And the riwayat says that he strikes his wing and suddenly there's a whole fountain of water and there is the water of Zamzam. When that happens, there's a caravan of people going past. And they suddenly see a bird hovering above. See now, birds are coming. People are coming. So they go and inquire. It's a long story. Finally, one person sees that, yes, there's some water. There's a lady there, a child. And these people come. And she gives them permission to come and settle down there. So after some time, there's a whole community that is growing. Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam comes regularly to visit his wife and his son. But he's unable to stay with them. Allah did not permit him. And he has to continue. He goes and he comes back. Ismail alayhi salatu salam is now growing. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees when Ibrahim alayhi salam comes, this little child, فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعُهُ السَّعْيَ. He reaches that age in which, like any youngster now, he is helping his father, running about, doing the chores with his father, assisting his father. Again, the love of the child comes into the parent's heart. Allah wants to see, is the love of Ismail more in your heart or my love more in your heart? So Allah shows him in a dream that he is slaughtering Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. And he goes to Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, that I am seeing in a dream, in a vision, that I am slaughtering you. So immediately, without any hesitation whatsoever, Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam tells his father, if'al ma tu'mar, that do exactly what you have been commanded. And don't worry, satajiduni insha'Allah minas salihin. You'll find me from amongst the righteous, the obedient ones. I will not disobey Allah's command. So we know then Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam is going with his father Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, and again shaitan comes. Shaitan does not want to see the servants of Allah obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam sees shaitan, he takes the 7 pebbles and he throws at him. Shaitan falls to the ground, he's sinking. Again he raises his head. Again Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam throws. Again he stands up, again he throws. And this is the jamarat that repelled. Finally they come to the spot where he has to be sacrificed. And we know the incident, that he is running the knife on the throat of Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. A knife, it's sharp. But you see, everything happens only with the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter what technology we have, no matter what skill and power and strength we have, if Allah does not want that particular thing to function, it will fail. It will fail. You can have the best type of technology and equipment and gadgetry, but if Allah's hukam is that it must not work, it must fail, it will fail. Now, this is the yaqeen we need to build in ourselves all the time. We make dhikr, la ilaha illallah. That only Allah is the provider. Rozi comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to make an effort, but the real razaq provider is only Allah. Person is sick, we have to take medication, we go to the doctor. But real ashafi, the true curer, is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah places the effect of cure in that medication, then only a person will get cured. Otherwise, the person can take how much tablets he wants, and whatever medication is prescribed, nothing happens. In fact, sometimes it becomes worse. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can help us with means, without means, and against means also. If Allah wants that knife to slaughter, it will slaughter. If Allah wants the knife not to slaughter, it's against the means. And Allah wants that something to be slaughtered without any means, Allah will make it happen. So Allah is the most powerful, and we are His servants. So this conviction should come into our hearts. This conviction should come to our hearts. That it is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who does, that we cannot do anything. So whether it's rozi, whether it is health, whether it is even breathing in the air, it is only through Allah's command that we are able to breathe. Our being able to eat is only from Allah. We're able to walk only from Allah. We're able to sleep properly only from Allah. The ability to make sajda, it is from Allah. The ability to do good deeds, hajj, umrah, qurbani, zakat, roza, it is only from Allah's tawfiq. We are absolutely useless. We are nothing but the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are abd. So submission, Islam, falamma aslama. Allah talks about this particular verse where father and son both submit. Falamma aslama. Watallahu liljabeen. And he placed him with his forehead down. The Mufassirin have mentioned various things. Ismail alayhi salam said, oh my father, remove my kurta, tie me very tight, and make sure the knife is sharp, so it doesn't become difficult to run the knife over my throat, and I do not become excited and push away, and let not my kurta become tainted with blood, that if my mother sees it, she will also lose her sabr. These are great lessons for us. What happens then? Allah then replaces them with a ram. Some kitabs it is mentioned that a ram from Jannat was brought down. 40 years it grazed on the pastures of Jannat. وَفَدَيْنَاهُ بِذِبْحٍ عَظِيمٍ. So Allah loved this action. And Allah says, Ummat of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you too must follow this. Therefore when Sahaba asked, Ya Rasulullah, مَا هَذِي الْأَضَاحِي, what's all this qurbani about? Nabi said, it is sunnatu abikum Ibrahim. It is the sunnah, the way of life of your forefather Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. And immediately after that Sahaba asked, what are we going to get in this? What's the sawab? What's the reward like? Nabi Akram said, for every hair on the body of the animal and every fiber of wool, you'll get one neki. So the spirit of Qurbani will come, we'll purchase animals, people will already start ordering the animals and purchase the animals. Again, the whole objective, the aim, the purpose behind the Qurbani, that we seem to forget. So even though we will purchase the best of animals, it must be solely for the pleasure of Allah, not for name and fame. Many of us slip in these areas. Ikhlas is such a fine line. Such a fine line. We may have the biggest animal in town, and the heaviest, and the weightiest. And we will even take a picture and we will let it go viral and everybody will see. What is the purpose of all this? The idea is for you to get that feeling of qurbani. Like how Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam put the knife on his son. Allah has given you the animal. And therefore there is such reward before the blood can even reach the ground when you're making qurbani. Allah already accepts the animal. So mashallah, we should have a passion for these animals. There are many people who buy and look after these animals. So this should be our fervor, that qurbani should be such that we enjoy sacrificing these animals. Of course, don't give them any taklif. We won't go into those details of sharpening the knife in front of the animal. Nabi Kareem some told a sahabi, you're giving it two moths. One moth is when it will be slaughtered, and before that you're already frightening the animal. So teach our young ones, learn how to sacrifice properly, so that we don't cause any pain to those animals. Islam teaches us so many lessons. Inna Allah katab al-ihsan ala kulli shay. Allah has ordained us to be kind to all His makhluk. وَإِذَا قَتَلْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا الْقِتْلَ. Even when a person takes qisas, then too it has to be done correctly and properly. وَإِذَا ذَبَحْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا الذِّبْحَ. Nabi Karim said, when you're making qurbani, make sure you do it efficiently. وَلْيُحِدَّ أَحَدُكُمْ شَفْرَةَ وَلْيُرِحْ ذَبِيحَةَ. The knife should be sharpened so that you give no taklif to the animal. We bring the animal right to the place of slaughter, and now we bring the buckets of water, it's closing his mouth, and we're trying to push the, and the children are pushing it. There's no need for all these things. So learn how to make qurbani properly. Have that fervor that now, as the ulama explained, we are placing the knife on the neck of that animal, or the throat of the animal, but we are doing it solely for the pleasure of Allah. Allah is not in need of the flesh, Allah is not in need of the blood, or the skin, or the meat of this animal. Allah wants to see our taqwa. That Allah has commanded us to do this solely for His pleasure, so we will do it. So Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam also, the other important aspect in their life, when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is commanded by Allah to build the Kaaba. The Kaaba was built first by the angels at the exact spot where the Kaaba is today. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam's time there was floods, so the Kaaba was destroyed completely. Then it was rebuilt on the same area. And then in the time of the Quraysh, because there was floods, so the Quraysh were rebuilding the Kaaba. This was before Nabi Kareem Sam became a Nabi. And he also joined them in building the Kaaba. So as they were building, they had insufficient funds or money to complete the entire Kaaba, and therefore the Hatim, as we see, was actually part of the Kaaba, so that Hatim remained as it was. It was not, the wall was not raised, and it was not covered. So they left it in that manner. Nabiya Kareem Sassam had told Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, it's my heart's desire that I would like to build the Kaaba or reconstruct it how it was in the original form. In other words, the wall was completely raised and joined to the remaining part of the Kaaba. But because your people, in other words the Quraysh, have just newly accepted Islam, they might not understand all this, therefore I'm leaving it as it is. Abdullah bin Zubair radiallahu ta'ala, when he became or in charge when he was in Makkah, then he reconstructed the Kaaba or he joined the Kaaba in the manner in which Nabi Kareem expressed his desire that it, he would have done it like this. Hajjaj bin Yusuf came, the tyrant, he raised it to the ground, so he broke that section again. Harun al-Rashid became the Khalifa. He asked Imam Malik Rahmatullahi, Imam Sahib, I wish to now again build it like how Abdullah bin Zubair did it. It was the desire of Rasulullah SAW. Imam Malik says, no. The Kaaba Sharif will become like a toy. One ruler coming, raising the wall, other one, he will raise it to the ground. And so leave it as it is. And exactly like that we see the Kaaba Sharif today. So Allah is so kind, we go inside the Hatim, it's like reading namaz inside the Kaaba. The actual foundations, وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَعِيلِ Jibreel Israel came and showed Ibrahim a.s. that these are the foundations of the Kaaba. The foundations were there, and on that they built the Kaaba. And then we have Maqam Ibrahim, where Ibrahim used to stand, and as he needed to go up and ascend, the Maqam Ibrahim, the stone will go up, and Ismail Islam will pass on the stone to his father, he'll go up, and he'll come down. And the footprints are found on the Maqam Ibrahim. After building the Kaaba, can you imagine what a great deed, building the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What did Ibrahim alayhi salam, what dua did he make? Rabbana taqabbal minna. Wallah, accept. Ulama explained in Arabic. He could have just said, iqbal minna. It's a slight difference. Iqbal, then accept it. But he used the word taqabbal. They explained the slight difference. Iqbal minna, wallah, we build this Kaaba now, accept it. Taqabbal has this meaning in it, that wallah, we tried our level best, but our efforts are very weak. Our efforts are feeble. Ya Allah, we hope whatever little we have done, you out of your kindness, you will accept it. You will appreciate it. And then he made dua. Ya Allah, make both of us Muslimin. Submit, surrender to you. And even from our dhurriyat, from our progeny. And then they made dua, let there be a person in our progeny who will come. رَبَّنَا وَبَعَثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا A messenger. يَتْلُوْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِكُ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ That he will recite your verses to them. That is the Qur'an Majid. And this was the function of Rasulullah SAW. Tilawat of the Qur'an. وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ And he will teach them Quran. He will teach them the different laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what is this? The tilawat of the Quran. Then the meaning and the understanding of the Quran. This is what Nabi Karim did. He taught them the Quran, recitation of the Quran. Jibreel Islam will come. And then after that Nabi Karim will recite these verses. Some sahaba would write, others would memorize. Then Nabi Kareem will explain to them the meaning of these injunctions. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would teach them hikmah, ulama explain different meanings of hikmah, wisdom, sunnah, his way of life, wa yuzakkihim, and he will purify them. In other words, the wrong aqidah beliefs they have, now he will purify them and bring them onto the right belief system. The maladies of the heart, the anger, the pride, the jealousy, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would, his function was to purify them from these maladies by showing them the remedies to all these maladies. And that's what we call tazkiyah of the nafs. So this was the function of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. There are so many other great lessons that we draw from the life of Ibrahim Alayhi Salaam. Allah said, Inna Ibrahim kana ummah, kana ummatan qanitan lillahi hanifa. Hanifan actually means moving away from all the wrong ideologies, from all the wrong beliefs, from kufar, shirk, and coming towards haqq. So therefore we say, millata Ibrahima. The millat of Ibrahim, the creed of Ibrahim. And that was monotheism. Every Nabi taught the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also instructed Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to follow the same millat of Ibrahim alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Shariat was different. The ahkam, the laws were different from our laws. But the same thing, the calling towards the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the kuffar in Makkah were worshipping idols. Worshipping the sun, the moon, the stars. 360 idols were found in the Kaaba Sharif at that time. So the same theme. We find that the Yahud, the Nasara, the Mushrikeen in Makkah, they all claim to have been following Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you're following Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, then he was وَلَمْ يَكُ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ, not from those who practice polytheism. He believed in the oneness of Allah. And شَاكِرًا لِأَنْعُمِهِ, he had this quality of shukr in him for all the ni'mat Allah ta'ala bestowed upon him. اِجْتَبَاهُ, Allah says, we chose him. Allah had chosen him. And Allah guided him to sirat al-mustaqim. Allah says, وَآتَيْنَاهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنًا, we give him good in this world. Allah blessed him with pious offspring. وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ, and even in the akhirat, we'll make him from the salihin. See, salihin, salihin, salihin. This is dua we make all the time. Ya Allah, make us from the salihin. Yusuf alayhi salam, before he passed away, Ya Allah, تَوَفَّنَا مُسْلِمًا وَأَلْحِقْنَا بِالصَّالِحِينَ, Ya Allah, make me die as a mu'min, as a Muslim. And join me with the salihin. May Allah Ta'ala make us all from the salihin, from the righteous ones, the pious ones. What does it mean? That we obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever Allah's hukam is, without questioning it. In today's time, we have so many people. Even qurbani. Now they want to understand the logic behind sacrificing so many animals. It's all to do with nafs. Nothing else. Because a person is so miserly, he doesn't want to spend. So he'll either not slaughter, or he look for a very cheap way of getting out, and he'll start taking out objections that why so many animals you could slaughter. It is the command of Allah, whether it makes sense to us or does not make sense to us, we do not question any command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was the fervor the Sahaba had. Whatever command Allah gave, Rasulullah gave, without asking anything, can it be like this? What about this way? That was the type of people we had in the time of Bani Israel. They were told to slaughter the cow. It's a long story. Now, what color, what type? When they started asking these questions, Allah made life difficult for them. Therefore, Rasulullah SAW, when he told the Sahaba, they perform Hajj. One Sahabi said, Ya Rasul, every year. Akulla Amin, every year. Nabi Akrim said, oh. Bani Israel were destroyed because of the unnecessary questions they asked the Nabi. If I said yes now, every year, imagine Hajj becoming incumbent upon us every single year. How will we be able to go? So Nabi Karim said, I said, perform Hajj. In other words, once in a lifetime it is sufficient. Therefore, we don't probe into matters which we cannot understand. Accept the Shariat, divine Shariat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and our job is to make amal on it. Yeah, there is great wisdom. And ulama have written volumes about it. behind every single hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the wisdom behind it. But we are not bound by Sharia to know the wisdom of why that particular command is given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is going to ask us in the day of Qiyamah, what action you brought? Where is your amal saliha? May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayah. So this is, in essence, the lesson of Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, Ismail alayhi salatu salam. Submission. Surrendering before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Placing the knife on our nafs. Certain aspects of Shariat, we find it very, very easy. We are comfortable with. And many times, because it is easy for us to do that, and then we will display that action more and more, and we will talk about it all the time. But what about the so many other actions which we find hard and difficult? To wake up for tahajjud salat, difficult for us. It's against the nafs. But to wake up the whole night and watch that soccer match, whichever team is playing, we'll make all the sacrifices to stay away that night. It is ice cold in certain places, difficult to put it Fajr or Jamaat. We'll make all feeble excuses. But if a person has to go somewhere else, ice cold, he won't bother because his nafs is pulling him towards that. When it comes to our monetary transactions, then we fall short in those matters. So many people. The manner in which we treat our workers, our servants, in our factories, in our warehouses, people complain really. We thought he was a pious man, but the words he uses, the vulgar words, we cannot understand. He's a man with kurta and he's speaking like this and how he's treating us. Every year we hear complaints from the farmers. People haven't even paid last year's qurbani money. It is so sad. We are supposed to be leaders of the world, of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What a beautiful shariat we have. What a great legacy we have. Something to not just boast about, but we should practically display this with sincerity. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat. These are Mubarak days. Lesson of Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam, the lesson of Ismail alayhi salatu salam, Hajar alayhi salatu salam. There are so many other incidents now. How Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba made sacrifice. They learned Qurbani from Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they were prepared to sacrifice their lives. They were prepared to sacrifice their homes. They were prepared to make hijrah from Makkah, go to Madina. They didn't question Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They left everything. And they made hijrat, leaving all the belongings behind. And so many other sacrifices they made. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looked at that sacrifice. And accordingly Allah rewarded the person. The greater the sacrifice in a person's life, the greater the tests and trials and tribulations, the greater the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So even in our times today, the challenges are very great. The tests are very, very severe. And if we pass these tests, which is not difficult, if we ponder and reflect from the Quran and from the Sunnah, from the Seerah of Rasulullah, Allah wants us to submit ourselves, surrender ourselves. Whatever hukam Allah gives us, whatever amr Allah commands us with, anything, don't question Allah Ta'ala's hukam. Let us not make excuses all the time. Let us not look for faults. You see, when the heart becomes sick, then first the heart will make excuse, then the heart will find faults, ma'adallah, in the shariat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then slowly, slowly the person will move away from millat Ibrahim Hanifa. He'll move away from sirat al-mustaqim. He'll move away from the sunnat of Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayat to make amal. We purchasing our animals, purchase good healthy animals, and have the spirit of qurbani. And of course, it's too early to mention, but we're mentioning these things, and every time people will mention, for Allah's sake, that we should make sure there's no intermingling. Now because that one bull, the whole ummah is standing around that bull, and the woman and the ladies and all the men and ghair mahram, and everybody is shouting and everybody is screaming. But the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are broken. And again, if we are unable to slaughter the bull, we don't have the strength, we don't have the manpower, we don't have the skill, then don't give that animal takleef. If you do not know how to slaughter the animal, go learn, we have time. Learn properly how to treat an animal, and how to, and this is what we need to show humanity. That Islam is such a religion. Leave alone your human beings, our brothers and sisters. We even treat animals properly. So again, what is the lesson? Islam. وَمَنْ يُسْلِمْ وَجْهَهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٍ فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى. It's another lengthy bayan. Simply means, whoever submits, surrenders before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَهُوَ مُحْسِنٍ, that whatever command Allah gives, he abides by the command, and he does good actions. He is kind. He does amal saliha. Allah says, then he has held onto the ring of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is absolutely strong, it is solid, it is firm. In Ayatul Kursi, Allah talks about his ring, لَنْ فِصَامَ لَهَا إِلَىٰ إِنْقِطَعَ لَهَا. This ring of Allah is so firm, it will never break. In other words, when you have given your hand to Allah, Allah will never throw you down. So how do you give your hand to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? By surrendering, submitting. Ya Allah, your hukam, Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam showed us, submit. Ismail alayhi salam showed us, surrender before Allah. Rasulullah salam showed us, Sahaba ikram showed us, Salafi salihin, the same thing we do. May Allah give us tawfiq and hidayat. Wa akhir da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.